Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And my next guest is the new chairman of the New York City Council Education Committee, Robert Jackson. And one of his first policy hearings as chair of the Education Committee last week was supposed to examine the issue of parental involvement in the schools. Now, the hearings turned out to get eclipsed by another issue involving parents. You guessed it, the use of cell phones in the schools. The city started enforcing a ban on phones last month, and many parents are up in arms at the idea of their kids being out of phone reach. After all, they give their kids cell phones mostly for the event of an emergency, no matter how the kids usually use the phones. So we will ask Robert Jackson now about why he's against the cell phone ban and talk about other education issues in New York City, from larger questions of school security to the effects of No Child Left Behind locally to the Bloomberg reforms. So, Councilman Jackson, how you doing? Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. I'm doing well, thank you. All things considered, it's pouring down here in downtown Manhattan.
It is, and I am right across the street from you in the municipal building. And I guess I should mention that your district is Upper Manhattan, where I live up in Inwood. I'm a constituent of yours. So give me the reason that that you oppose the cell phone ban.
Well, I oppose the cell phone ban, quite frankly, because majority of the teenagers and young people have cell phones. It's like almost having your ID in your pocket. But the bottom line is that parents have purchased their kids' cell phones in order to communicate with them before school, after school. Many students are involved in after-school programs because parents work, and many kids are involved in sports program. Many youngsters in high school have after-school jobs, and cell phones are just part of the communication devices of today. This is 2006, not 1886.
So what do you say to Chancellor Klein and Mayor Bloomberg when they say, look, that's all well and good, but the phones are just causing too much chaos? They're getting in the way of instruction too much, and we have to do something about that, or these kids aren't going to learn.
And that's good. I think that they have a valid point. I think they need to look at Boston. They need to look at L.A. They need to look at other municipalities. Boston instituted a policy after consulting, true consultation, with parents and students and coming up with a policy. And I had suggested to Chancellor Klein and Deputy Mayor Dennis Walcott, I met with them over 3 weeks ago with some education staff to discuss this issue along with other issues. And I basically communicated with them that I would like to see a policy as a chair of the Education Committee, and also listening to my colleagues, of a ban on cell phones in school, meaning that you need to turn them off totally. They cannot be on vibrate. They need to be put in your book bags and not be visible, like worn on your belt and stuff like that. And so that kids will have the opportunity before school and after school to have their cell phones. I think that they need to come up with a disciplinary policy if people violate the policy. This is all part of teaching and learning, teaching students how to obey instruction, teaching students how to obey policies and procedures in order to have order in the school environment so children can learn. And they have not done that. In fact, as you know, Mayor Bloomberg appears to be adamant on this subject, and him being adamant on it has basically caused everyone, thousands and thousands of parents who have signed petitions, my colleagues, to communicate with me. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Councilmember Lou Fidler from Brooklyn is introducing a resolution, exactly what I said, that children, not a resolution, a law allowing students to have cell phones but totally off. My colleague Letitia James of Brooklyn is introducing a resolution basically calling for stopping Mayor Bloomberg from pulling the cell phones until he has a public public discussion on this particular issue. Mm-hmm. Miguel Martinez will be introducing a law, basically maybe instituting what do you call these cell phone jammers in schools so that they will be jammed from using it.
Within the building.
The bottom line is that people are very upset, not only council members, because they're hearing it from their constituents, but parents and everything. It came up during the parent involvement hearing last week. There was a press conference on the steps of City Hall at 4:30. This is not going away. And in fact, Brian, I have scheduled a hearing on this whole issue of the cell phone ban on June 14th at City Hall. I am hoping that the matter is resolved by then. If it's not resolved, we're holding a hearing on this particular matter to consider the two intros, the two possible laws, and the one resolution.
That's a good idea. Personally, I react well to the idea of a compromise that would require them to be completely turned off in school but allow them to be in the student's possession unless they violate that rule. You know, I'm the parent of a New York City middle school child, public middle school child, and we haven't given him a cell phone yet, but we've thought about it for the idea of, you know, him being in touch with us during his commute if he needs to. And I would personally like to have that option, though I certainly sympathize with the educators who are trying to create a positive environment for instruction. So maybe something like that compromise would work. But I want to change up a little bit, because some people say that this whole debate is a distraction from a larger issue, which is that the cell phone ban is part of the larger crackdown by the Education Department designed to enhance safety in schools, but that the additional scanning, the spot checks with the metal detectors and so forth is creating, in effect, a police state for mostly lower income, mostly black and Latino kids. And here the media is just talking about, you know, middle class parents' concerns about cell phones. What do you say to that critique?
Well, I've definitely heard it. I've not only heard it this year. Also, when Eva Moskowitz was the chair, we held hearings where high school students have came in to testify about all of this scanning and how they were being treated. And basically, they said to us they're being treated like they're prisoners, the way they're talked to, the way they're handled. And so I tell you, I went into a school on a legislative breakfast at Christopher Columbus Complex in the Bronx. And I went through, of course, the metal scanner like everyone else. And the scanner was so sensitive that it even, my credit card went off. And when I walked inside, and I, quite frankly, I said to myself, listening to the walkie-talkies go off of the safety officers in the building, and they were so loud, you can hear them 30 feet away, I said, I feel like I'm in a prison. And quite frankly, it is, I can understand, Brian, let me just tell you, the most important issue for me, for the children of New York City and the people that I represent, is the safety and well-being of all of our students in the school. You as a parent want to make sure your son or your daughter gets to school safe and comes home safe. So that's number one. And when Mayor Bloomberg puts the issue of guns and knives and cell phones and iPods in the same sentence, I think that's wrong. You have to separate out guns and knives and talk about that as a separate issue, and that has to do with the safety and security of our students. And
so,
in fact, Brian, you know, doing this surprise scanning, they confiscated over the course of, I think, 12 days or 2 weeks, about seven knives, two box cutters, one razor, and 800 cell phones.
Right. So where do you come down ultimately on the spot metal checking that's taking place? We want to create a balance between security and liberty. So do you think the current implementation of it is creating too much of a police state for these kids, or is it being done well?
You know, safety is number one. I think that where you have, if you look at the schools with the highest incidence of violence or highest incidence of guns or knives, most of these schools, the high-impact schools, already have metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
Already. I think that a spot check at other locations will be good, but I think it's how you implement it, Brian. Implementation is extremely important in order to... I'm not saying that all children are treated with disrespect, but I've been told by parents and by students, they yell that and they're not treated with the type of respect that they need to be. These are students. These are not prisoners. And thus, when our adults don't give respect, how can you then expect respect when you don't give it? And so that's a major issue. But I think that overall, that spot checking at schools, especially at the high schools, is important. But I think the implementation is extremely important also.
93.9 AM 820 WNYC. As we talk to Robert Jackson, city councilman from Upper Manhattan, who's the new chair of the Education Committee in the city council. Remember, Eva Moskowitz used to have that job, and she came on here pretty regularly to talk about education issues. Do you see yourself as different from Councilwoman, former Councilwoman Moskowitz on this? I know, you know, she kind of made a name for herself early on in that job by taking it to the UFT a little bit and saying, look, they're a, you know, special interest group. Their interests are not always in line with those of the children. And then she teamed up with them on some other issues later on. But what did you think of her accomplishments and her positioning in this job? And do you see yourself as, you know, a different kind of advocate?
Well, I am a different type of advocate. Eva Moskowitz, listen, Eva was with was the chair of the Education Committee for 4 years, and prior to that she was on the Education Committee, so I have high regards for Eva. But, you know, Eva's style and my style are totally different. Eva was running for Bronx Borough Manhattan Borough President.
Yeah.
I'm not running for another office. So my focus, you know, when I was elected the chair of the Education Committee in January, my primary focus was the same primary focus as Chris Quinn, our speaker, same focus as Mayor Bloomberg and CFE, and that was to try to bring down this money from Albany so that we can build 21 new schools, which means 15,000 new seats in the city of New York, and do major capital repairs, the $1.8 billion we needed in order to implement this phase of the five-year capital plan. That has happened. Now my focus is to deal with some hearings, and parent involvement, which was last week, is an extremely important issue. As you know, CPAC, the Chancellor's Parent Advisory Committee, the Association for New York Community Education Councils, these are the parent leaders of the City of New York, and they have basically expressed to me at the hearing that parent involvement receives a failing grade as far as DOE is concerned.
When you talk about parent involvement, that tends to mean different things to different people. To parent advocates, it often means having more say in education policy. To people who are critical of a lot of families, they say, you know, parent involvement should be more focus on helping kids with their homework. More parents should care more about the schools. To others, it means helping parents who might have limited English or limited education. What does it mean to you?
Parent involvement means at all levels, from the beginning all the way through high school. The bottom line is, though, that when you talk about parent involvement and the administration communicating with parents, you communicate with the elected leaders. You communicate with the CECs, the Community Education Councils, the CPAC people, the School Leadership Team, and the Parents Association. And all of those individuals overall has basically said that parent involvement has not been where it should be. It needs improvement in New York City. They want to be consulted, true consultation on matters that are going to be implemented in our school system and not be told after the fact.
So that's a political level parent involvement. That's not helping the kids, helping the parents to help their kids do better in school.
Well, I disagree, because it is. Because when you're dealing with the leaders and then you're working with them on programmatic issues and getting their true input, then you're really moving forward with programmatic issues in the school that have been basically agreed to by all parties. And I've heard that hearing after hearing that parents are not being involved in a true decision-making process. And in fact, I'm from a parent base, and I truly believe that parents need to be involved. When I say parents need to be involved, you know, we're not talking about 1.1 million school children's parents, but we're talking about the Parents Association officers, the School Leadership Team officers, the CECs, the CPAC, these are all of the leaders I'm talking about. These are thousands of leaders that have been elected by the parents, and they are the ones that need to be involved in the decision-making process.
Let me get a couple of calls in real quick. And I take full responsibility for this, Councilman. We blah, blah, blah for most of our time,
so
you're going to have to come back and take calls.
That'd be good.
From,
I like that.
From a lot of parents who are calling in, but let's take a call from Moira in the Bronx. You're on WNYC.
Hi, my name is Moira Kennedy. Thank you so much for having the show today and this emphasis. I testified last week, Mr. Jackson, and I want to suggest something, two possible solutions that I actually have not heard batted around in all of this. What I'm hearing, and I so appreciate your concern and attention to this critical, critical issue. As you know, I've sent you a letter regarding this and an extensive background information as of last night. I sent that to you. But my two solutions are this. And they're gonna, one is going to sound funny, but I don't mean it to be funny, so please, I'm saying this with all due respect. The New York Times on Sunday had an article in one of the other sections about the emotional support offered by animals to people and how that's changed the tenant rules throughout the city. I personally, being in Dan Gorodnick's district, am affected by this because I live in Stuyvesant Town. Now, in the regs, which I can't put my hands on exactly at this moment, but I think it does say that things are prohibited unless there's a medical reason. And I would suggest the consideration of involving the American Psychiatric Organization, the American Pediatrics Organization, because knowing very well that there are students who watch those towers fall, who are still in school, and for whom this phone is their link during the day to security, it's like a transitional object for a 12-year-old. You know, when you're 3, you have a blanket. When you're 12, you have a cell phone. You know, I'm sorry, but it's 2006. My second solution, which was eloquently argued by Deputy Chancellor Carmen Farina, who is in the Division of Teaching and Learning under the DOE. She hasn't spoken to the issue of cell phones, but if you go and if parents go and they look up what she said about class size, what she proposes, and I haven't heard this by everyone I've spoken to who's offering solutions because they think they know better.
Moira, I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry because we're quickly running out of time. Councilman, in our last 30 seconds, A, what do you think of her analogy to cell phones as a transitional object? And B, class size. There's an attempt now to get a class size matters ballot question this November. Do you support them?
I do. I am being represented by the former deputy mayor under Giuliani in support of the class size. I forgot his name again. Forgive me. But let me just say in 30 seconds that we're holding hearings in the fall on class size, special education, charter schools, and these are the subjects that are going to be discussed in September, October.
All right, so you'll come back and talk about class size.
I'll be
and whether
glad to come back anytime.
Smaller
Brian.
Class size should be mandated. We'll talk more about parental involvement. We'll talk about No Child Left Behind. We'll talk about the mayor's overall standards reforms. So thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. Anytime.
City Councilman Robert Jackson, now the head of the Education Committee, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll be right back.